I hold in my hand the keys to the kingdom, the word of God, the authority of God, and whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. John chapter number 19, verse 41 and 42. I'm going to read in your hearing as you follow along with me. John writes, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was not or was never man yet laid. There lay there Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day. For the sepulcher was nigh at hand." Somebody say hallelujah. Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. And we're going to begin with verse number 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 1. And it reads, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought spices with which to come and anoint him," that is Jesus. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." Verse 3 says, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And entering in, when they looked, thus they saw the stone rolled away, for it was very great. Then verse 5 says, "And entering in, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted." And this is the part of the text that I like. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified." Turn to your neighbor and say, "He is risen. He is not here. Behold where they laid him. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen." Hallelujah. "He is risen. He is not here. Behold where they laid him." Pray with me. Yahweh, the hour has come again that your son Yeshua, whom we call Jesus the Christ, must be lifted up. For Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women, all boys and girls unto me." So lift Yeshua up again today. May Yeshua be seen clearly. May Yeshua be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Yeshua be honored. May Yeshua be obeyed. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold where they laid him. Beloved, there are two sets of a pair of words in the English language that will quicken, or damp the spirit of any human being. I'm going to say that again. There are two sets of a pair of words in the English language that can change, that can make or break, if you will, any human spirit. These two sets of a pair of words comprise an adjective and a noun. Sister Adams, these two set of a pair of words are contradictory and opposing to one another. They contrast and contradict each other. Matter of fact, my friends, they are rarely used together in a sentence when talking about a particular issue. These two sets of a pair of words, this adjective and this noun of one set, and this adjective and this noun of the other set, Sister Edwards, can either cause you to be happy or to be sad. They can either quicken your joy or bring upon you a spirit of melancholy. And if you have ever experienced any of these two set of pair of words, Deacon Scott, you will testify this morning that the second set that I'm going to reveal to you in a few minutes usually will damp your spirit. What are these words, Pastor Wegar? I'm so glad you ask. They are good news and bad news. And if you have never experienced either one of these yet, you just keep living. Because sooner or later, you will have to experience one of these two set of a pair of words, especially the one called bad news. But this morning, beloved, As we come back into this worship center that we have been away from and that has kept us away from each other for over 13 months. As we come back in this place, Sister Uyghur, where today on this resurrection weekend, we are memorializing and reflecting on the pain, the passion, and the provision made by Yahweh through Yeshua, whom we call Jesus the Christ, for the redemption and the restoration of mankind back to God and to each other. I want to use, Sister Marcy, these two pairs of words, these two sets of a pair of words together and in tandem. I want to use them together today because I believe, beloved, that in this context, in this subject matter at hand, they will not contradict each other, but they will actually synchronize and accentuate each other to help us to understand clearly what it is that Yahweh wants to share with us. Elder Prochet, I believe today that using these two sets of words in a sentence in this subject will help us and will heighten our response to this day and this occasion and this thing that Yeshua did for us that we celebrate today. So for the time allotted to us to share in the Word of God, I want to share with us from the topic, the bad news that turned out to be the everlasting good news. I'm going to say that again. The bad news that turned out to be the everlasting good news. And who can share this news to us so confidently and so reassuringly like the disciple John? John, I'm talking about John the Apostle, John the Revelator, who was privileged to be giving the apocalyptic musings of the divine Godhead. John, who wrote what he was shown on the Isle of Patmos. John, in whose gospel we are told of the word and the power of the word's creative genius. John, beloved, brings us this bad news that turned out to be the everlasting good news. I can't get no help up in here. John begins by saying in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 that there was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And this lamb, it's the one we know as Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Anointed One. John, why this bad news? Why would you even tell us about A lamb that is being murdered, a lamb that is being killed, a lamb that is being slain, even when the world has not been created yet. Why, John? Why would you tell us this bad news? And beloved, I want you to know today that John is giving us this bad news because this bad news is intended to hiding our response to the succeeding good news. This bad news John is giving us is intended to help us appreciate and even celebrate more efficiently and wholeheartedly and effectively the succeeding good news. Do I have any company in the house? John goes on to tell us in his gospel beginning in John chapter 1 and verses 1, 2, and 3. John says, in beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, the Word, there was not anything made that was made. But then John tells us that something terrible happened to the creation that was made by the power of the Word. The Bible says to us, beloved, in Genesis chapter 3, that after God, through the Word, created the universe, created this world, he entrusted his earthly creation to the trusteeship of mankind. But mankind abused and betrayed that trusteeship, and the whole world turned topsy-turvy. The Bible tells us that sin came in the world and death was reigned on the animal planet. Death was reigned on the plant or the plants. Death was rain on the human existence. The death was rain on mankind, and the atmosphere went into an atmospheric havoc. Because of that, sickness, suffering and pain took total control of God's beautiful planet. Oh, but beloved, I want you to know today that this did not shock God. This was not a surprise to God. This mess that the world got in because it betrayed the trust and the responsibility to manage the world that Yahweh has entrusted to mankind caused mankind to begin to social distance, not just from Yahweh, but from each other. Oh, follow me through, beloved. I want you to know that this thing called social distancing did not start with COVID-19. Oh, beloved, it started in the Garden of Eden, because the Bible tells me that after man sinned, man socially distanced himself from Yahweh, the creator, the lover, and the one who entrusted mankind with all of this great creation. He hid behind a tree from the created God, and in the cool of the day, Yahweh came in the garden asking and calling mankind, Adam, where are you? And Adam began to hide. He began to social distance himself from God because sin had come in. Oh, beloved, not only did mankind socially distanced themselves from Yahweh, but mankind socially distanced themselves from one another based on their color. Based on the pigmentation of their skin, based on their possessions and their position, we find ourselves socially distancing ourselves from each other because of this thing called sin. And so some of us live in the suburb and we put a gate around it, and we can't allow other people to come in because of how they look and what they own or don't own. Some of us move to another part of town and we block it off and say to other people they can't come in because they don't look like us and dress like us and drive the kind of cars we drive and can afford the kind of houses and money. We have gotten into the behavior, the ritual of socially distancing ourselves from God and from each other. And I stop by to tell you today, beloved, the reason why we've been away from this church for over 13 months had nothing really to do with COVID-19. Yes, COVID-19 was a part of it, but it is the same problem that has caused us to socially distance ourselves from our God and from each other. But I'm so glad. Hey, I say I'm so glad that this mess up that we found ourselves in, Elder Lawrence, did not surprise the Creator. It did not shock God. God was not scratching his head trying to figure out how did mankind end up like this. Matter of fact, I declare to you today on the authority of the word of God that God knew that we will be messed up and that we will be socially distanced. And so the Bible says that God decided that the word who was responsible for creating us and creating everything that we see, that word decided he was going to take responsibility for his creation. He was going to guarantee the durability of his creation. And so John tells us that word in Revelation 13 and verse 8, even before the world was created, the word gave his word, and he said, I will be a lamb, I will die, I will give myself. He could have given up on the idea of creating mankind. He could have trusted this creation to angels, but he said, no, I love mankind. I want to have fellowship with him. I want him to be in companionship with him. And even though I know he's going to mess up, before I even create him and before he even messes up, hallelujah, I am going to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I wish I had a help in here today. And so John says in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh, oh bless his name, and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Oh, beloved, in the fullness of time, the Bible says that the word came into the world. He came not as King of kings and Lord of lords in his rigor and his divine kingly glory. No, but he disrobed himself of his kingly robe. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that even though he was God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but put on humanity and humble himself even to the death of the cross. Jesus Yeshua took off his divinity, shrouded himself in the womb of a teenage Jewish girl, and was born in a filthy manger called Bethlehem. Beloved, he lived on this earth for 33 years. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the hungry. He walked on the Galilean raging sea, and one day he was arrested, and they took him from Judgment Hall to Judgment Hall. That's the bad news. They took the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they tore his clothes off him and flogged him until his back tore like a fillet of meat. That's the badness. They spat on him, they mocked him, and they put a crown of thorn on his head, and his brow bled as they call him King of the Jews and ask him to testify and prophesy. Who smacked him in the face? That was the bad news. They put an old rugged cross on his back, and they took him up Golgotha's hill. They hung him high and stretched him wide on that cross, and he hung under the heat of the Palestinian sun for 6 grueling hours. That's the bad news. He hung his head and he died. That's the bad news. Oh, beloved, now I want you to take a walk with me through the teachings of our text found in chapter 16, verse 1. And there we will find 4 scenes that will give us a tour through the transformation of how this bad news turned out to be the everlasting good news. They took him and they placed him in the borrowed tomb. John tells us in John chapter 19 and verse 41 and 42, he said the tomb was in the garden where he was crucified, and because the Jews' preparation day was at hand, they put him in this tomb and sealed it up. And the first scene that we see is the plan of humanity. Everybody said plan of humanity. We see it in Mark chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible says that when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, they had bought some sweet spices and had prepared to go and anoint the body of Jesus. And early in the morning, on the first day, they went toward the sepulcher to join him. This is the plan of humanity. Let me tell you about the danger, beloved, the plan of humanity. It is when we try to put God in our own power and our own plan and desire without doing what God has come to do. The plan of humanity. Here, Jesus had told them over and over again that I didn't come to be here forever. Matter of fact, I came here for this purpose. I will die, will allow them to kill me, and they will bury me, but I'll wake up on the third day. They didn't hear it. They didn't understand it. They didn't believe it, and so they decided they were going to do their own thing, and watch this, have mercy, Jesus, and they were going to do it in Jesus's name. How pitiful can a church be when it refuses to listen to what Jesus says? When it refuses to follow the commands and the express will of Jesus, but begin to do what they want to do and do it in Jesus' name. These women, we applaud them. We talk about how sensitive they were to the body of Jesus. They wanted to anoint it. They wanted to prepare it for burial. But I stopped by to tell you today that as sensitive as they were, as honest as they were, as passionate as they were about what they were doing, they were being disobedient to the express will of Jesus. Because they wanted that they have more love and respect for a dead Jesus than a living Jesus. And is not how the church of the living God is today. We pay more homage to a dead Jesus because he cannot speak to us. We put up and put out for a dead Jesus because he cannot instruct us. We go out of our way to please a dead Jesus because we're not willing to listen to the words of a living God. And so they got their sweet spices to go and do something that they did not have any right and any command to do. Jesus had said, I will wake up on the third day. So why are you anointing me for burial? I wish somebody would hear me. I'm not here to stay in this grave. I'm getting up, so put your spices away. Just believe that I am who I say I am, because once you get to believe that I am who I say I am, you will not doubt what I tell you. You will not be discouraged by what happens in your life, even if you don't understand why it is happening and how it is happening. When you trust that I am God all by myself and I don't need no help, I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it, wherever I want to do it, with whomever I want to do it, because I'm the sovereign God. When you accept that, then even when you don't understand what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and why I'm doing it, you will still believe in me and follow my instruction. Didn't the word say that my word, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways? So are my ways from your ways and my thoughts from your thoughts. Turn to your neighbor and say, just do what he says. Talking about the bad news, it turned out to be the everlasting good news. They had their plan. But the second thing that we see in the teachings of our text, Elder Manuska, is the problem that came out before their plan. Okay, you missed it. They had a plan, right? But every time mankind has a plan that does not involve the living God, there's always a problem ahead of the plan. Go with me in your passage. I'm in there, Mark chapter 16 and verse number 3. The Bible says, then they said among themselves, who shall roll us away to stone? Let me put it in today's English. Who's going to get that rock from the door of that tomb? Who's going to move it? Because we are heading somewhere and heading in a situation that Yahweh did not instruct us to head. We're trying to go through a door that God has not called us to go through. We are trying to do something. I wish somebody would hear me today. That God has not empowered us and commanded us to do. And every time try to do that, we're going to hit a roadblock. And then we got to ask, who's going to open the door? Mary and Salome, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, they want to go into a place where God has not instructed them to go. And you know why they wanted to go there? Because they were following human tradition. And it's not what gets the church in trouble all the time. We're not listening to what Yahweh is doing in this season. We're not listening to the rhema word that God is bringing us. This is how we've always done it. Well, Pastor, I don't know about that, because for the last 20 years, this is how we've always done it. And Yahweh is saying, yes, I know this is how you've always done it, and it worked at that time, but I'm changing the seat. God bless his name. I'm changing the times. I'm changing the people. I'm changing the things that you used to do, and I'm taking you in a new season. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're moving in a new season. Beloved, let me be the one to bring you the bad news. Don't ever look at church the way you used to look at it before COVID-19. Let me put it this way, like we used to say in the hood, this ain't your mama's church no more. That means the church has changed. The worship methodology must change. The way we reach people must change. The things that we used to do to attract people are not working anymore. It must change. And I thank God, not for COVID, but in the midst of COVID, he has taught us that we can't be stuck to the past. We got to move on to where Yahweh is taking us. Who's going to remove this rock? How are we going to enter this door that got a big old block on it? But I thank God for the third scene in the teachings of our text. And it brings us to the providential provision of Yahweh. Go back to verse 4. Go back to verse 4 of Mark chapter 6. And the Bible says, and when they looked, oh, bless his name, they saw that the stone was what, everybody? Rolled away. Here they are planning to go through a door that Yahweh had not instructed them to go through. And so they find that there is a lock on the door, that God will seal up the door, but they're still going. And so what he does is he said, I'm going to give a providential provision. I will move the rock. I will give them access in the door. Well, somebody is saying, well, preacher, why will he give them access in the door that he doesn't want them to go through in the first place? Because God is getting ready to give them a revelation. See, sometimes God will open doors that are supposed to be locked. Sometimes God will make way in places that there should be no way, so that you don't just see the way, but you see the revelation that God is trying to show you. Sometimes God will connect you with that person that you shouldn't be connected with. Not so that you and that person can have a relationship forever after, but so that he can show you that this place he's been trying to keep you from and this person he's been trying to keep you. I wish somebody would hear me. It's not good for you. Sometimes God will remove a roadblock to get you in a place, not so you can stay in there, but so he can teach you a lesson. And so they get in the sepulcher. They get in the tomb. Oh, and the last scene we see as we take this tour that turns this bad news into good news is the proclamation of the everlasting good news. Somebody said the proclamation of the everlasting good news. The Bible says they entered into the tomb. They are supposed to see Jesus laying on a cooling board. They're supposed to see him wrapped up like a mummy to be anointed for burial. But when they looked, they see a handsome young man sitting on the right side. I'm going to say that again. Somebody missed that. They see a handsome young man. See, you got to read scripture because the redactor is not just using words and locations arbitrarily. He is choosing his words carefully. He said they see a young man sitting on the right side. Okay. Stop, rewind, and hit play. They see a young man not on the left side, not on the wrong side, not on the other side, but on the right side. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to find God on the right side. See, the problem with us is we are going through these doors that we shouldn't be going through because God wants to give us a revelation, but we're not looking on the right side. We're always looking on the wrong side. They see this young man sitting on the right side, and they are afraid. The King James says they are afraid. And he says to them, don't be afraid. I know what you came to see. You came to see a dead Jesus. I know who you come. That will not tell you that your dress is too short. You come for that God that will tell you that your pants, young man, is hanging down your backside. You come looking for a God that will tell you that it's okay, or that will not tell you that it's wrong to sleep with the person you're sleeping with. See, we want a dead God, a God that will not tell us anything. A God that will not give us rules and regulations. A God that will not give us expectations. A God that will not hold us accountable. We want a dead God that do not say anything. This young angel said, I know who you came to see. Hey, you came to see a dead God that will not tell you that it's wrong to keep living the way you are living. You came to see a dead God that will not tell you that what you are doing, if you keep doing it, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You came to see a dead God, and because you didn't see him, you got afraid. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need to be afraid. Because the Jesus you came looking for is not the Jesus they told you about 3 days ago that died on a cross. The Jesus you came looking for, I want to tell you, is going to be introduced as the living Jesus. He is risen. He is not here. He's not here. He's risen. Oh, beloved, I don't know about you, but this is the good news. It started out as a bad news, but it turned out into a good news. Somebody give me my water over there. It started out as a sad news, but it turned out as the everlasting good news. Thank you. The Evangelion, the gospel. And it is, thank you, it is this good news, beloved, that we as believers and we as followers of Jesus must carry to the world. It is this good news, the proclamation of the good news, the resurrection, beloved, tells us three things. How many things, everybody? The first thing that the resurrection tells us is that death lost some loved ones. Lost my daddy. I lost 3 sisters. I lost some cousins and uncles and aunties and nieces. And I've lost a good friends. But I thank God this morning that resurrection tells me that death is defeated. The second thing that the resurrection tells me is that the devil is evicted. Are we somebody with you? You see, when we sin, the authority of this world was given to the devil, but when Jesus came and died, the devil thought he had all of us. He didn't know that Jesus would get up again. But when Jesus got up, he proclaimed, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave." Death is defeated. The devil is evicted. He has no more power over you. And the third thing that the resurrection proclaims and testifies is that deliverance, hallelujah, is available to every son and daughter of Adam. Deliverance is available to me. It's available to you because death is defeated and the devil is evicted, and deliverance can be yours. The resurrection tells us that deliverance is available. Oh, beloved, I don't know, Elder Prochet, if it was a dream, I don't know if it was a vision, or I don't know if it was real world. But I know a long time ago, I recognized my undoneness. I recognized, Elder Lawrence, that I was a sinner, lost, had nowhere to turn. And as I begin to get discouraged about my condition, As I begin to get depressed, wondering where will I get help, I saw a sage, a man of wisdom, and he said to me, young man, he said, I know where you can get some help. I said, where can I go to get help? He said, there's a man called Buddha. He said, Buddha can help you in India. He said, if you just get to India and tell Buddha your problem, he said, Buddha will help you. So I hired a plane, bought my ticket, and flew to India. Oh, beloved, but when I got to India and went to the town where Buddha was supposed to be, they told me, oh, you got here too late. I said, what are you talking about? A sage told me to come here and I will meet Buddha. They said, yes, he used to be here, but he died in 638 BC. They cremated him, and this is where they buried his ashes. Oh, I was in a spirit of melancholy, and I started to walk away with a bend back and a stoop over head, but then somebody else tapped me on the shoulder. They say, young man, you seem to look discouraged. I want you to know that there's a man called Mohammed. He can help you with your sin problem. I said, where can I find him? They said, he's in Saudi Arabia in a place called Mecca. So I hired me another flight and I got to Saudi Arabia. And when I got to Mecca, I said, I'm here to see Muhammad. I heard he can help me. And the man that met me said, oh, young man, I'm so sorry you had to travel all the way here. He said, you see that thing called the Green Doom? I said, yes. He said, you see that black tomb that's under its canopy? I said, yeah. He said, Muhammad died 1,638 years ago, and they buried him there. His bones and his bodies are still there. I said, oh, I was told that Muhammad could help me. He said, no, you got here 1,638 years too late. And I grabbed my briefcase and walking so weak and discouraged, a young boy ran to me and said, sir, I heard you got a sin problem. I heard you're singing deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I said, yes, but nobody can help me. He said, oh, yes, somebody can. He said, have you heard of Jesus? He is in a place called Nazareth. He said, if you can just make it to Nazareth, you will find Jesus and he will help you. So I hired another flight and I got to Nazareth. When I got there, they said, oh, you just missed him. They said, he is on his way to Galilee. He's been healing the sick and raising the dead. And if you just hire a cab and head on to Galilee, you're going to find him. So I rushed to Galilee. And when I got to Galilee, they said, oh, you just missed him. He just fed 1,000 by the Galilean shore. And he was going to cross the Lake of Galilee. He walked upon the stormy lake. But when you get on the other side to Capernaum, you will see him. When I got to Capernaum, I've met this man who called himself a former demoniac. He said, I had 2,000 demons, but Jesus met me and he rebuked the demons, and I'm now clothed in my right mind. But you just miss him. Head on to Jerusalem and you will find him. So I hired me a cab and headed to Jerusalem. But when I got there, they said, no, Oh, you just missed him at the city center. He is gone to a place of prayer called the Garden of Gethsemane. I wish somebody would hear me. So I hurry to the garden. When I got there, I saw a little boy. He said they just arrested him. He was praying, but when he got up, one of his disciples betrayed him, and they got him in chains. They're taking him from judgment hall to judgment hall. I started to go looking for Pilate's judgment hall, but when I got there, somebody said, oh, you just missed him. They put an oar rocket cross on his back, and they are forcing him to go up Golgotha's hill. So I decided I'm going to have to find Jesus. When I got up to Golgotha's hill, the soldier with a smirk on his face said he thought he was God. He was an imposter, and so he got killed today. He was on the cross. We nailed him. He hung his head and died. Hey, they put him in a tomb in the garden. Go there, you might see him. And I rushed to the tomb, but it was 3 days later. But when I got to the tomb 3 days later, early Sunday morning, the stone was rolled from the tomb. I looked in and I saw that same little young man, the angel. He said, you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I said, yes, sir. He said, he's risen. He is not here. He is risen. He will meet his disciples over in Galilee. When I got to Galilee, Peter said, oh, you got here too late. We just came from the Mount of Olives. He ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he promised to send us the Holy Ghost. I said, so what should I do? He said, you don't have to worry. Just get on your knees where you are and call on Jesus. He will hear you in the morning. He will hear you in the evening. He will hear you at midnight. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. If you need salvation, tell him what you want. If you need deliverance, tell him what you want. If you need healing, tell him what you want. You can call him up and tell him what you want, because up from the grave, he arose with mighty power over his foes. He arose with victory over death's domain, and he lives forever. Let his saints proclaim, he arose. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Hey, beloved, I stopped by to let you know today that your bad news can turn out be good news if you just let Jesus get in the middle of it. I don't know what you've been through for these last 13 months. I don't know what you've been through, Sister Peeler. So many deaths in your family. Sister Robinson, so many deaths in your family. Sister Adams, you lost your daddy. Hey, some of us have lost jobs. Some of us have lost businesses. Some of us have lost homes. We've lost our automobile. Some of us have lost family. But I stopped by to tell you that no matter what you are going through, your bad news can turn out to be a good news, because he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And this resurrection weekend tells me that death is defeated, that the devil is evicted, and that the deliverance, I said deliverance, deliverance is available. Hey, living, he loves me. Dying, he saved me. Bearing, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me and freed me forever. One day, I said one day. One day, he's coming back. Glorious day. the bad news turn out to be the everlasting good news. Jesus is not in the grave. Muhammad is still sleeping in the grave. Buddha is still in the grave. But up from the grave, my Jesus arose. Oh, beloved, those of you who are listening to us via Facebook, I want you to know that there is no problem. There is no burden. There is no pain that Yahweh, that Yeshua, that Jesus cannot heal. Earth, hey, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So I want to open the doors of the church wherever you are this afternoon, or whatever time it is in your time zone. He's alive. He's alive. Death is defeated. The devil is evicted. Deliverance is available to you. Yahweh, I pray today for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. I don't know what they're going through, but you know. I don't know what pain they're experiencing, but you know. I don't know what weight they're carrying, but you know. Oh God, lift the weights. Lift the burdens. Break the chains today. Bring your children back into social relationship with you. Stop the social distancing and bring us back together, we pray, in Yeshua's name. And the church of God say amen. The people of God say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if you've been blessed, put your hands together and praise the Lord in this place.